your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios. The Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms for self-defense in one's home is fully applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit reversed and remanded. With those words read aloud by the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday, June 28, 2010, Otis W. McDonald, lead plaintiff in the case that would forever bear his name and become known as McDonald versus the City of Chicago, Otis McDonald would prevail in one of the most important U.S. Supreme Court cases affecting not only the right to keep and bear arms, but freedom itself in American history, against one of the most gun-hating, corrupt, freedom-hating individuals and tyrants, hear me, tyrants, ever to run an American city. And of course, I'm referring to Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, Illinois. What you may not know, particularly if you are one of the many thousands of new listeners to this growing program, is that on June 27th, 2010, Otis McDonald gave his final interview on the eve of that historic decision to me, right here on the Armed American Radio Network, a mere hours before that decision was read. I had met with Otis in New York City earlier that week for a television show taping just days before the decision, and he agreed to appear here on Armed American Radio before he retired for the evening in Washington, D.C., for what was sure to be a very busy day for him the following morning on Monday, June 28, 2010. During that interview, and in a moment of incredible humility, Otis McDonald would display a sense of selflessness and patriotism that unfortunately today most young Americans cannot relate to, sadly. Take a listen to what he said to me when I asked him here on this show about the attention he was receiving as a result of his case against the City of Chicago the night before the decision, right here on Armed American Radio. Sean, can you run that clip, please? This is Otis McDonald's response to my question.
It's a far cry from where I came up from. And it's having a little toll on me, but, you know, to think about what it will mean to so many takes away any exertion that I'm maybe feeling at one time or another about this. It gives me such charge to know that this means so much to so many.
That's right. Otis McDonald knew that he was fighting not just for himself, but for you, me, and every freedom-loving American who would benefit from the results of that fight and the time and the struggle that he dedicated to it. Otis McDonald knew that this fight we engage in against America's internal enemies of freedom, ladies and gentlemen, was about more than himself. He understood, and I know this because I spoke to him privately about it. He understood that this struggle against America's enemies of Second Amendment rights was about far more than your right to keep and bear arms. He understood this fight was about the very foundations of all of our freedoms, that our Second Amendment represents the ultimate American freedom, and that as a nation, we are free today because we possess that fundamental right. He knew that if we lost our Second Amendment rights, freedom itself was at stake. It is with great sadness that today we mourn the loss of Otis McDonald here on Armed American Radio, Otis, who passed away on April 4th. I had the privilege to shake his hand and ask what I could ever do to thank him for what he had sacrificed. And Otis McDonald, true to his form, said this to me. Keep fighting, he said. Mark, keep fighting. Never give up. And I'll never forget him telling me that. I gave him my word during that conversation. And Otis, I tell you now, all of freedom-loving America owes you a debt of gratitude, sir, one that we will strive to repay by doing just that. Keep fighting. Thank you, Otis McDonald, for what you have given to America's fight for liberty, and Godspeed, sir. May you find the peace and the place you have earned amongst other great American patriots. The rest of this program today we dedicate to you, sir. Otis McDonald, September 17th, 1933 to April 4th, 2014. Thank you. Sean, that's powerful.
Yes, it is.
You remember when Otis was on this program, he gave us the last interview moments before that decision, and having had the opportunity to meet that man.
Yes, he did. That was a man, he was a fighter.
An honor and a privilege, and the humility that he showed as he fought. It was a man in Chicago who faced violent crime, who was a crime victim, someone that Mayor Daley didn't give a damn about. And Otis McDonald took him to the mat. And I'm convinced, after speaking with Otis, the attorneys involved, that Mayor Daley retired after that decision because he knew he had been found out. Tyrants run when they get caught.
Yep, just like bullies.
And he had been caught, and he had been beaten, and he knew it. And he elected to retire when he knew that that decision would play a major role in the remainder of Chicago's politics. And he would be powerless to stop that. And as a result, Illinois, you now have, as a result of this man's fight and his dedication, along with the other plaintiffs in the case, who we will name in a few minutes, you now have the right restored to you. And those first permits, those concealed carry permits in Illinois, I'll be honest with you, I never thought we'd see that day come. But because of men like Otis McDonald, that day is upon you. We have a huge program lined up for you today, a world-class lineup. John Lott, boy, he's been confounding the liberal gun haters all week long. John's been on MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, DC, whatever. He's been everywhere. We have a clip to play from John Lott on MSNBC when we had a Medal of Honor winner talk down to John as if he were a nobody. Shh, you be quiet, you. You will speak when spoken to. We'll play that clip for you. And we'll do it with John here because John Lott will be on the program with us later in this hour. You heard him on Hannity this week. You heard him on Mark Levin. He did a great interview on Mark Levin, and he is back here on Armed American Radio. You hear him here on a fairly regular basis. He's a good friend of ours, and that means he's a good friend of yours. Believe me, he's one of the best friends you have. Alan Corwin Experience picks up where it left off the last time. Alan Corwin will be joining me here today on Armed American Radio, and he will stay with me for the remainder of the program. You'll hear from him in just a little bit. David Kodria, back from Connecticut, where he spoke on the steps of the State House, "We will not comply," became the major chant in the face of unconstitutional gun haters. And yes, Democrats. Yeah, most gun haters are Democrats in Connecticut. And thousands of you spoke up. I'm also going to read a letter from a Connecticut resident that I got today that will really open your eyes what these people face. And it just makes it that much more important when we hear the words of Otis McDonald. And in addition to John Lott and Alan Corwin and David Kodria, the Mad Ogre will be here. And I've got with you special guests for the remainder of the program, and that's Jim Irvine, chairman of the Buckeye Firearms Association and a very good friend of mine. You've heard him on this program many, many times. Jim Irvine, welcome to the show. I'll bring you in now before the first break. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here. A nice tribute to Otis McDonald. And, yeah, people, the word hero gets bantered around a lot. And Otis McDonald absolutely is a hero. I met him once. He's one of the most impressive people I have ever met. His family, we can talk about that later. But, yeah, he is a friend, and he has shaped all of our lives probably more than we know it.
Yeah, absolutely he has, and time will tell us that as the years continue to tick by. Illinois, we don't have to tell you what you're realizing as a direct result just 4 short years after his prevailing in the Otis McDonald versus City of Chicago case. When we come back, I'm going to read what he said on the steps in Washington, on the steps of the Supreme Court that day that decision was read. More after this. Don't go away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Have you been thinking about buying an AR rifle? Maybe for hunting, sport, or even home protection? Now, there are a lot of them out there on the market. It seems like everybody and their brother has an AR out these days. So why should you choose an Arms Room AR rifle? Well, there are at least two major reasons. One, the Arms Room AR rifles are made by veterans and first responders, men and women who know what it's like to depend on a rifle when protecting life and liberty, and the AR rifle in their hands has to function right the first time, every time. Two, the Arms Room AR rifle is made right here in Central Florida with the highest quality materials and standards. Chances are your Arms Room AR may not ever be used to defend life and property. But if it comes to that, wouldn't it be comforting to know that it can? Shop the Arms Room today and check out their vast selection of handguns, shotguns, hunting rifles, Liberty gun safes, and the Arms Room AR rifle online at armsroom.com. Coming soon, check armsroom.com for the New York compliant AR rifles.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at waltherarms.com. The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com. Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Thank you.
This segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by G-Code Holsters. To carry your gun in a G-Code holster, visit tacticalholsters.com. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. It is a real honor to be here with you today. New listeners across the nation, New Orleans, Louisiana, you're tuned in today. What a pleasure to have you here, a city who knows firsthand the dangers of illegal gun confiscation in this country. We don't have to remind you of that, but we will, because that's the premise of this show. And that's what we fight against by fighting for your right to keep and bear arms. My special guest for the entire program with me today, the chairman of the Buckeye Firearms Association in Ohio, Jim Irvine. Jim, welcome to the program, my friend.
It's always a pleasure to be on, Mark.
We're no rookie here, right? This is not our first rodeo. Let's get right on it. How about it?
All right.
All right, I'm going to read you something from the book, An Act of Bravery, Otis W. McDonald and the Second Amendment. And from the rear cover of the book, Otis McDonald, born and raised amidst the hardships of sharecropping in the cotton fields of Fort Necessity, Louisiana, overcame poverty and social prejudice to become the first in his family to earn a college degree and rise to the relative comfort of America's middle class. With drug and gang activity on the rise in Chicago, McDonald's home has become increasingly threatened by violent crime. With no other intent but to defend his family against life-threatening intrusion, McDonald encounters the dichotomy of gun-wielding criminals and a Chicago statute limiting the purchase of handguns. As lead petitioner in a Supreme Court case against the city of Chicago, McDonald is the unlikely candidate to challenge local jurisprudence against the Second Amendment. And Jim, I don't have to remind you that he prevailed.
Yes.
Here's what he said on the steps of the Supreme Court building after the ruling was issued. After the court adjourned, there were congratulations all around. Otis felt like he was walking on air. He was bursting with happiness, but the experience seemed otherworldly at the same time. As they walked out of the Supreme Court building, Alan Gura addressed the media, of course his attorney. Then as lead plaintiff, Otis stepped up to the microphone and read his speech, quoting, "I would like to first give thanks to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me the endurance to be where I am today. I thank the Lord for my wife, Laura, and my three children, Chandra, Calvin, and Sheila. I am especially grateful to my nephew, Frederick Jones, who has been by my side, supporting me throughout this case. I thank him for Alan Gura and David Segal, my attorneys, for Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation, for Richard Pearson and Don Moran with the Illinois State Rifle Association, for Valinda and Mike Rowe, and for J.D. Williamson and all my Southern Illinois family. Also, I'm thankful for the three other plaintiffs in this case, David and Colleen Lawson and Adam Orlov, and all the wonderful people all across America who have been supportive of the Second Amendment and our right to defend ourselves. Last but not least, I am very grateful to the justices of this high court for having the courage to right a wrong, which has impacted many lives long ago and that will protect lives for many years to come. In my opinion, self-defense has been validated." Jim, I met Otis, you've met him, and you couldn't meet a more humble guy from more humble beginnings who, when he realized what was at stake, if you read his book, literally threw himself in for the long haul and dedicated himself to fighting this battle as long as it took, if it killed him in the process.
Yeah, he was... He was born the son of a sharecropper in Louisiana, and I think he was 17, several years before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on that bus. His mom realized, you know what, maybe this isn't the best place for a young black man to be. So as a child, she put him on a bus up to Illinois, to be with family, to get him a better life, and told him to make your mama proud. And from such humble beginnings, one of the things he said to Alan Gottlieb walking down the Supreme Court steps that day was, "I hope I made my mama proud."
Yeah, that's right.
And Alan said, "Otis, you've made us all proud."
Yeah.
And he is absolutely a humble man. His family was delightful. I got to sit at the table with his family for lunch and meet some of his children and grandchildren. And they, just an absolutely delightful experience, an afternoon of my life that I will never forget. He, you know, true measure of a man is the children that you raise. And by any way you measure it, Otis is a great man.
You know, interestingly, in 4 short years since the McDonald decision came down, let's talk briefly, Jim, about what that decision meant, you know, to all of us, but in particular, those of you listening in Illinois to Armed American Radio right now, within earshot of our voices. Your permits began being mailed in February. And I know, Jim, right now somebody's saying, we shouldn't need a permit. You're right about that. But let's take this step by step. As a direct result of what Otis McDonald did that day when he filed that case and the Seventh Circuit shot him down and he moved northward to the Supreme Court and had that Seventh Circuit decision overturned. It brought down America's tyrant, most corrupt mayor daily, didn't it, Jim?
Absolutely. And he, a thugopoly, that's how you can describe that government. I mean, it's who he is, who he was, and it, like you say, it's changed the course of Chicago and the state of Illinois, and thus our country, forever.
Yeah, it did. And those of you in Illinois now have restored your right to keep and bear arms. You've always had the right. It was just taken from you by a corrupt government. Democrat controlled, Jim. I can't help but say that. Facts are facts. Yeah, I have to remind you that it is the Democrat Party at its highest level that is fighting to take away your Second Amendment freedoms. Don't ever forget that. It is what it is. You don't have to like me for saying that. Sometimes the truth hurts. Jim, go ahead.
No, it's and it's sad because it really should not be a partisan issue. We had a great Democratic governor, Ted Strickland, in Ohio. But one of the things we've noticed is since Obama has been in office and Strickland is gone, the Democrats have voted against us in much greater numbers than they did in prior years. And it's, I guess leadership matters in any party. And it's frustrating because the party that's supposed to be for the people and for the little guy does more to keep the little guy down on the anti-gun stuff than anything else you could imagine.
Yeah, John Lott will tell us about that when he comes up here shortly. John reminds us that, and Jim, I know you know this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware of this, I want you to think about this. Think about what Jim just said and think about it in these terms. When the federal government denies the right to keep and bear arms in federal housing projects, who are they harming? They're not harming the gangbangers that are preying on the residents. They're harming the residents, the little guy, the people who need the gun to defend themselves most. That's who the Democrat Party purports to be standing for, is harming. It's terrible stuff. When we come back, John Lott will be here. We have a lot to discuss with him. We'll be back right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, America filling your prescription for freedom from coast to coast, literally from those toasty beaches of South Florida to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska and every connecting state in between, and we're very, very proud of that. I'd like to make note of this. Jim Irvine, welcome back to the program, chairman of the Buckeye Firearms Association.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Jim, this week, right now, begins our fifth year on Armed American Radio. Our fifth year begins this month, this week.
That is amazing. Congratulations. I cannot believe how fast time flies.
I'll tell you something fun, and I'll give you a fun statistic, and that is that we have never missed a live program. Ladies and gentlemen, you have never heard a repeat broadcast on this program. You heard one repeat hour when we had a technical difficulty some time ago, about a little bit over a year ago. But yep, you've gotten a fresh episode on this show, and I tell you this before, and I'll tell you this again. As long as I'm breathing, we'll be filling your prescription for freedom wherever we're located. Always a pleasure to be here. Jim, I'm proud to bring in a man that you've seen all week long, a go-to guy on every major network and every major cable network whenever the media wants to attack gun owners for the actions of a criminal in particular. Of course, now I'm referring to the latest Fort Hood shooting. You saw him on MSNBC, you've seen him on Fox, you've seen CNN and a number of other stations, as well as heard him on Hannity and Mark Levin, and that is Dr. John Lott. John, welcome back to the Armed American Radio, sir. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Great, great to talk to you again, Mark.
Been a busy week, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, but I think things may be changing at least a little bit in terms of the debate. I mean, this week was a little bit more personal for me than past ones. It's a little bit different. I have a son who's stationed at Fort Hood. He just got back from a tour of duty in Afghanistan in mid-January. And he was Fort Hood's a huge place. I mean, people have to understand it's like the size of San Antonio or something. But he was about two blocks from the attack when it occurred. He could hear the shots there. So there's a little bit more personal. Obviously, he's fine. But, you know, one of the things that struck me is when my son was in Afghanistan, he was required to have his firearm with him at all times. There have been a few cases in Afghanistan at American bases where Afghanis who have been on the base have attacked soldiers, and they realized how important it is for a rapid response, making it so the soldiers are able to defend themselves. So they require that they have their firearms with them. And as far as I know, there's been no problems with soldiers having firearms with them. But somehow when they come back to the United States, it's something that they won't allow.
And John, you wrote a piece for Fox News, an opinion piece. Let me quote from that. It says, you wrote, ironically, my son is a concealed handgun permit holder. He can carry a concealed handgun when he is off the Fort Hood base so that he can protect himself and others. But on the base, he and his fellow soldiers are defenseless. And at the beginning of your opinion, you mentioned that the Obama administration, again quoting, hasn't learned anything from the massacres at Fort Hood in 2009 or the Washington Navy Yard last year. Ironic, isn't it?
Well, it's disappointing. Just a couple weeks ago, the Obama administration came out with its report on the Navy Yard shooting. And the only thing that's really discussed at all in the Obama administration report was that there had been failures in terms of properly identifying mental illness issues with regard to the Navy Yard shooter. And that's true. There were mistakes. The Navy hadn't properly recorded some of the psychological issues that the shooter had had when he had been there, and the Department of Defense hadn't properly reported to the private contractor who had hired the shooter there, so that they didn't realize that there was a history of episodes. And so when they saw a couple minor issues, they didn't attach a lot of importance to them because they didn't view that as part of a pattern. So you can go and try to fix these things. I have no problem with that. The issue here is what happens when that fails? What happens when you don't identify somebody who may have serious mental illness issues? You look at the Fort Hood shooting that we just had this week. He had seen a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist had decided that he did not pose a danger to himself or to others. You know, it's so easy to Monday morning quarterback these things, to see something that most people may have regarded as a small incident to begin with and realize now after the fact that it's something important that people should have focused on. But that's just not real life. Mistakes happen. You talk to anybody in the healthcare profession, and they'll tell you how difficult it is to identify people with problems, usually, or people who may be a danger to themselves or others. And so the ultimate question is, okay, well, if that fails, as we know it will, I assume even the Obama administration would have to admit that there's no perfect solution to that. What's your backup plan? And they have no backup plan other than to hope that military police can arrive on the scene fast enough. And you know, anybody who knows my work knows the importance that I attach to police. Police are extremely important. But the military police at a large base like Fort Hood are no different than regular police officers at any other city, like Atlanta, where you're at, or any place else. Nobody expects the police in Atlanta to instantly arrive on the crime scene when a crime occurs there. There's just too much land for them to cover. The military police, they're present at the entrances to the base all the time. But for the rest of the base, they basically drive around in their military police vehicles and patrol just like regular police officers do. And so just relying only on military police is not a solution. You know, 5 minutes or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, however long it takes, is just too long when seconds may matter or a minute may matter in terms of whether or not you can properly get a response there.
And I would like to point out, ladies and gentlemen, John, a perfect place to segue to my next question. There are two things I want to cover with you. This one we'll get out now, the next one in the next segment after the break. But we are hearing the Fort Hood police response there, the military police response, was a very good one at 4 minutes. But I want to point out, and as you, in your research, and I've read it all, make so clear to anyone who will listen and pay attention to the facts, is that during that four-minute period, sounds great, that four-minute response, 16 people were wounded, 3 people were killed, including the shooter, who, by the way, was confronted with an armed military police response before he shot himself. And yet again, John, we find that the only things that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Can you comment very quickly on the four-minute response and the toll that was taken during that time?
No, I mean, I think you couldn't have said it better, that what stops these guys time after time is somebody who has a gun. And often it's not even necessary to fire it. Just simply pointing the gun is often sufficient to cause the criminal to go and stop these attacks. In this case, just having the gun there, the person commits suicide. 75% of the time these people die, either by committing suicide or by somebody else shooting them. But, they commit these attacks as a way of committing suicide. But, you know, they short periods of time a huge amount of damage. My research with Bill Landis at the University of Chicago showed that the one single factor that determines how many people get killed or injured in these attacks is the amount of time that elapses between when the attacks start and, as you say, somebody's able to arrive on the scene with a gun.
That's perfect timing to stop right there. When we come back, I want to play a clip from MSNBC and your comments, the attitude that was shown to you. We'll be back right after this. Armed American Radio continues. Okay, now we're going to talk about how you can get prepared to defend yourself and your family in a worst-case scenario. All of you know I'm a huge fan of Rob Pincus and his work with the Personal Defense Network. Well, the Personal Defense Network has assembled a series of revolutionary handgun training videos designed to make you more efficient with a defensive firearm in the context of a dynamic critical incident. This training course, which is only $39.95, offers more than 3 solid hours of powerful, practical, and proven techniques that will increase your speed and efficiency. Some of the topics covered include things like the balance between speed and precision, one-handed and weak-handed reloads, and, of course, shooting around a corner. So to get a copy of this one-of-a-kind training course and to help support Armed American Radio, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com. Once you order, you'll get the 3 DVD training course for only $39.95 plus shipping and handling. This is a great deal. Check it out. Again, go to armedamericandvdoffer.com and get your copy today.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that, while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement, even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection-molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossfreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Actually carrying in a Crossbreed holster in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Welcome back to the program. A pleasure to be here with you today from coast to coast, from those toasty beaches of South Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska. As Sammy just said, 50,000 watts of power. And it's pushing overload. Let's continue on here. We're talking with John Lott, the esteemed author, New York Times bestselling author, and Fox News contributor. He confounds the anti-gun establishment with facts. And, you know, when they're throwing their own sets of facts at you all of the time, that's not an easy task. And I want to start with a clip. John, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
You were recently on MSNBC, and you were talking with retired Colonel Jack Jacobs, who is a Medal of Honor recipient. And you were trying to make the point that the shooter, in this case, yet again, knew that there was absolutely no armed response on that base other than military policing. He knew that. And I want you to listen, ladies and gentlemen, to the response from retired Colonel Jack Jacobs, a Medal of Honor recipient, as he tried to squash John from getting his point across. Sean, play that.
What needs to happen is that prudent commanders have to be prudent. There's a certain amount of risk that is attendant to all human endeavors, including just living from day to day. And there's a certain amount of risk in being in uniform. A commander, somebody who's responsible for the training, the families, the lives of very large numbers of people, has to decide where the risk is and what the reward is. Arming everybody on post seems to me a very foolish response.
A very foolish response to a problem that needs a solution, but this is not the solution.
Please, don't be rude.
Earlier you were talking about arming families or children. Let him finish his statement.
Be quiet.
Unbelievable.
Arming everybody on post and the attendant and the attended danger in doing that is not a solution to protect the lives of people who serve and sacrifice for us. Now you can want to say.
Very quickly, please. John?
There's a lot of hyperbole that's here. Nobody's talking about arming kids, as you were mentioning earlier, or arming all civilians. This is a military base. And
Nobody's saying you have to go and have everybody that's armed. Just the fact that some people might be armed there, not just depending upon the military police. There are lots of different types of options that one can go and talk about. But the current rules mean that the killer knows that he's not going to be facing opposition there. And that makes it not only encourages him to go and engage in that type of attack to begin with, but makes it much more successful.
No responsible commander would ever agree to arm all of his soldiers on post. That's all there is to it.
All right, Sean, you can go ahead and cut that. John, the point that you were trying to make on that program, again, retired Colonel Jacobs, again, refused to admit what you were saying to him, was that you weren't trying to say arm everybody on that base, were you?
No. I mean, just a little bit of background. That interview went for about a little bit over 10 minutes, which was much longer than they had told me it was going to go. They said maybe 6 minutes or so. So I thought we were well into overtime. I didn't know when the interview was going to end. And I had not interrupted him at all prior to that. But it's just so many times he kept on repeating the claim was that somehow I wanted to arm everybody on the base. And he had talked earlier about arming spouses, arming dependents, which basically means kids. And it's just, you know, it was just absurd, the thing there. And I just wanted to make it clear that he was having a debate with I don't know who, but going and making such extreme claims about what was being proposed on the other side was just not very useful. We should have a debate over what was actually being talked about or proposed here. And yet, even in the very last response there, he says, well, you know, nobody, it wouldn't be responsible to arm everybody on the base. And nobody was arguing that every person on the base should be armed.
And that's that, Sean, you know this more than anybody on this program because you spend a lot of time, an inordinate amount of time, I would argue, watching that dopey channel.
Yes.
You're one of the very few people who do. But, you know, radio is theater of the mind, ladies and gentlemen, and I play that clip for you because I wanted you to hear the cogent response from John trying to make the point, yet someone from MSNBC on the other side not allowing that point to be made or even admitting what John was saying to the man. Was it absolutely incredible? If here's the theater of the mind. Listeners, if you could have seen John's face during the conversation, it was absolutely classic. You made your point on video. I want to make that very clear, John.
I mean, I guess I smiled or whatever.
I didn't
see the point of getting into the dirt with the guy about, you know, each person yelling that the other person should be quiet.
Right.
He had more time talking than I had in the overall interview that we had. But, you know, that wasn't the point. The point was we're near the end. I wasn't sure if I was going to have the time to be able to say something. All I wanted to point out was it doesn't make any sense to go against a straw man here. If you're going to make a point, then make a point that's responsive to things that were being made. Just don't keep on making a claim that nobody, respond to a claim that nobody's making.
Yeah, that's a great example. That is a straw man. That's exactly what he was doing, was setting up a straw man and trying to shoot you down and not letting you get your point. And I want to give you that opportunity now and clarify that what you were trying to say was that this individual, as the other shooter at Fort Hood and the Navy Yard and what inevitably will be another one if this policy doesn't change, John, is that someone needs to be armed, and the mere threat that someone being armed will more than likely, at least according to your research, probably stop this event, won't it?
Right. Well, and people can watch the entire video themselves. Just go to crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, the name of our organization, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, and I have a clip, and I also have a detailed analysis, more than we're going to be able to get into here, about what was talked about in the discussion there. But, I mean, look, we allow soldiers to carry weapons with them all the time. In fact, we ask them to. We tell them they're supposed to in Afghanistan. My son, as you mentioned, is able to go and carry a permanent concealed handgun, if he wanted to, off the base. In Texas, but somehow we don't trust these individuals who have this training. Now, maybe they don't want to have everybody, every soldier even carry it, but why not let officers, why not let senior enlisted men, like sergeants? My son is a sergeant. You know, you have people that have been in extensive combat. And the other red herring that's out there is, well, they'll say there'll be this massive bloodshed, that everybody will just kill everybody else. He said that a couple times during our discussion on Friday, and that's simply bizarre. I mean, that's the same type of discussion that you see with regard to concealed handgun permits.
Right.
The same thing, you know, that people will shoot each other, my response, if I had been able to respond, would have been, look, give me an example where something like that has happened. Because they don't. It's just this hypothetical thing about what might go wrong, and it's something that we see in gun control debates all the time. I remember I was involved in the debate over letting pilots be able to carry guns on planes, and the debate was, well, what happens if two pilots shoot each other or something like that? All hypotheticals. Well, you didn't have to guess.
Hey, John, they never happened.
Pilots were mandated to carry guns with them when they flew. Tens of millions of flights. And yet they couldn't point to a single example where the types of hypotheticals that they feared would occur.
John, I have to stop you there. We've come to the end of it. Thank you so much for being here. John Lott, everybody. And we'll give out the website when we come back again. John, thank you so much for appearing on the program on short notice. Jim Irvine will be back with you here in just a few minutes as well. Carry on, carry often, and carry absolutely everywhere. Don't be that unarmed caveman. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters, here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. Armed American DVD Offer.